right, welcome to the podcast today. We had some live entertainment from from J.R. Bennett.
Hello.
All right.
J.R. Bennett. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much. That was the first few notes of an epic song.
A new live intro. That's an original piece, from what I understand, too.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, everybody.
And thank you, everybody at home.
Yes, for clapping for your applause. All right. So welcome back to the show, guys. We're powering through this thing. Nothing's going to stop us is what I'm trying to say.
We were gone for a little while.
And I'm sure that you noticed, too.
Yeah, the podcast was on the ropes there. You know, maybe we were thinking that. Maybe you guys were thinking that, but...
We actually had a VH1 crew following us around for a behind the scenes of the Unsolicited Advice podcast and how it almost fell apart. Does anybody remember that? Behind the Musics, they always follow the bands around, and
they decided that they weren't going to air any of it because we got back together. Didn't make for a good enough story, and we were only separated for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that dramatic.
It wasn't really that dramatic at all. Anyway, welcome back. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the holidays. Because it's happening right now. Happy holidays to everybody out there.
It's the holiday season.
It is. I wanted to start singing a Christmas song after you said that, but I couldn't think of what the... It's the holiday season.
I liked it better when you couldn't think of it.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, holiday season. Happy holidays, everybody. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. JR has some advice about that. And there's been a lot going on with NASA and the news lately.
Yeah, NASA launched the Orion space shuttle, and good for them, you know?
I actually thought that I heard they didn't launch it because of some weather issues.
Yeah, there's a weather issue. I don't know, maybe they prepared for it. Honestly, I skimmed the article. This is really poor of me. I skimmed the article before I walked in. They were planning on launching the shuttle. They had a weather issue. I knew they were scheduled for the next day, but I'm not sure if they actually launched or not.
Yeah.
But I love aerospace and you know, whatever's going on up there. It always captures my imagination. So when stuff comes up, I like to talk about it. So
what is it that interests you so much about that?
Pretty much beyond our ability to comprehend how vast it is and just what's going on out there. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, I mean, I really like the parts of life that have questions that are unanswerable the parts of life that allow your imagination to run wild.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And space has got plenty of that. Like the idea of multiverses is amazing. Have you heard of multiverses before?
I have. I think of it being as like...
Or the multiverse.
It's like a bubble concept where there's just a bunch of bubbles floating around.
Yeah, there's bubbles of universes. And it could be existing... All those universes could be existing in a place called the multiverse. And the idea is that this exists within an infinite reality. And since everything is infinite... Everything that's happened has happened in a different universe, like an infinite number of times over, and every variation of that. I was thinking about this the other day, and like I used to perform stand-up comedy a little bit, and I was thinking about if I was trying to explain to this on stage to a crowd, I'd try to explain to them that in one, there is a universe right now where I'm in the crowd and the whole crowd is on stage doing stand-up comedy for me. Like, I mean, that's how crazy this whole idea of infinite universe is that every variation of everything is happening.
I'm going to tie that into the holiday season a little bit. I was thinking today, and this is going to be controversial, and I don't even know what your sort of spiritual or religious beliefs are, but I was thinking about the idea of Christmas and sort of the Christian meaning behind it being the birth of Jesus, and that...
Are we subject changing already?
Fairy tales. We're going to come back to this.
Okay, we're coming back to space.
But seriously, it is going to come back to space because I was thinking about that story, that very small, limited story of a baby Jesus being born on Earth to be the savior of this little tiny world that we have here.
Yeah.
It seems very unlikely
Well, I don't even get
this. When you put into perspective, let's put in perspective. I think it will take something like 6 to 8 months to travel to the next nearest planet to us, which is Mars.
Mars.
6 months. And if we got there, we'd never be able to get back. Okay, that's the one thing. At least with people.
I don't get that. But so, okay.
The other thing, and so anyway, you continue this thing, and it goes on for hundreds of thousands of millions of light years, right? So we have to travel at the speed of a light for potentially, even traveling at the speed of light for 1 year is completely beyond our capability.
It would have to be generations of people traveling at the speed of light.
Yes, yeah. Many generations of people traveling at the speed of light.
Yeah.
Lots of issues come along with that. Time and space, which will get actually an interesting movie, Interstellar, came out,
mm-hmm.
and that talked a lot about the time bending and space bending and things like that. But my point is that as the holiday seasons do approach, I can't help but think how silly. I mean, it's all nice and warm and fuzzy and we all enjoy it. But when you really step back and you think like maybe in 5,000 years, when we look back on this time period, we're going to be like, those people were all freaking insane. Like, why did I cut down a tree and put it in my house with lights on it? You know, it's crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that. That's possible.
It's a cultural thing. I understand. It's part of being human. I'll play
devil's advocate with you because we're talking about this in terms of infinity and everything.
Well, did I make my point?
I think you made your point. Okay. The point that I heard was that, you know, considering how infinite the universe is and how vast everything is, isn't it kind of silly to think that we've been saved by this one person randomly at this one time, and then he never came back? Or he came back, but then he left again? Where'd he go, man? You just got back. You know? Fuck.
Absolutely.
Stick around for a while.
And if you're talking about an infinite universe, I mean, this one little... Ever see Carl Sagan's Pale Blue Dot, for example?
No.
That's a great... If you ever get a chance, YouTube Carl Sagan Pale Blue Dot. I forget what the satellite was, but it was going outside of the solar system for the first time.
Oh, yeah. I know
it you're turned about. Around and took a picture of what it had left. And the only reason you could see Earth is because there happened to be some sort of gleam from the camera that was shooting across the screen. You could see Earth as this little, like, pixel. It was totally insignificant in the scheme of things, in other words.
And that's just at the edge of our solar system. Little
solar system, which is completely insignificant in the realm of the galaxy and then the realm of our cluster of galaxies. And then you keep going out and out exponentially after that.
Well, the other answer, I mean, the devil's advocate response is that you know, these things have been placed here to, you know, challenge your faith and see how faithful you are in the God. And God created all this to, you know.
Is that the best argument that you
that's
have?
That's one. That's one of them. Another one is, how about, I'll take it in the scientific infinite direction.
Okay.
How do you know Jesus
is... My head's going to explode right now because you used that argument.
Isn't in another universe right now saving another Earth? You know, maybe he's traveling through universes.
It's like Superman.
Well, in a sense, I mean, if he's saving races of people, he kind of is... He's pretty super. He came back from the dead. You know, he's got a lot going for himself. Why not traveling between universes too?
What is his standards for saving things? I'm not quite sure if I'm understanding.
Yeah,
I say he, I'm sure there's no gender here.
I've never read the Bible. I've just heard people talk about it.
A lot to talk about.
Yeah. So
and they need to work on how they're talking about it because it's not working for me.
I don't know, man.
Don't hold back. I mean, seriously, what are you holding back right now?
Because there's this thing in our society where you're not supposed to talk about things that people hold as sacred, but it's like, if you hold something sacred, it should stand up to scrutiny easily. You should be able to argue it without problem. You know what I mean?
Just on the basis of being a human and having a free-thinking mind, right?
Right. I mean, like, if you've subscribed to something so wholeheartedly that you're going to get, you know, offended by it if I talk about it, then... You should have thought about it enough and come to a conclusion that's... So I should just talk freely about it, right?
Yeah, so you're actually...
Okay, here's the bottom line about this shit. Okay,
bottom line.
There's a book that's in mass print that everybody reads and they all get behind for a number of reasons. You know, it's tradition, there's benefits to organization in the community, and people find wisdom in some of the teachings of it and everything.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, man. It's not actually even if it's...
Are we talking about all religion right now?
No, I'm talking about the Bible. And we could talk about other ones too, but let's talk... The Bible, just by the mere fact that it's been transcribed over, you know, centuries between languages, should give you enough information to not take it wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. To maybe invest in the spirit of the message, but not take it literally, or not decide to do anything extreme because of it, because maybe it's inaccurate. You know what I mean? Like, there's some good stuff in this book, but I don't know for sure. Why not test out the book? Why not pick up the book and take from it what you can, what works for you, instead of just being like, oh, all or nothing, you know?
So where does the problem come in? From a societal point of view, how do you see that this is even an issue? How is it affecting...
Well, it separates people. It's divisive in a culture. Either you're part of us or you're against us. And to be part of this group, you have to subscribe to all these extra beliefs that a rational person would have a lot of hard time, you know, a real hard time with.
There was an interesting thing I saw one time where there was these two women who went out to, you know, they were raising funds for some sort of children's hospital. And they did two different times. The first time they went out and they filmed it and they did the atheists, so the humanistic group of, so that we're supporting the atheist foundation is raising money for the children's hospital. You would not believe the dirty looks they got from people in the nasty comments about what they were doing.
Yeah.
But what it comes down to is they were trying to help out their fellow humans, the children in the hospital who were sick, right?
Right.
And then soon after, they came back, and maybe the next day, and they had they're from the Christian church of whatever, right?
Right.
And everybody was just their little hearts were just so touched by the gesture,
right?
And it's interesting how it's not fair almost to a point that you're looked at differently for trying to help if it's not in the name of God or the Bible or religion.
That's even more dangerous.
I'm going to say because I don't really identify with any religion. I don't have any sort of morals. Do I need religion to have morals?
No, I don't think so at all. In fact, I kind of look.
I've only killed a few people in my life.
No, you don't. You obviously don't.
That
need...
was a joke. Sorry, I'm going to edit that out.
You obviously don't need religion to have morals. And sometimes I've been judgmental enough to think that for some people, religion is like, it's like a lazy person's way to, you know, it's like a predetermined kind of set of morals and guidelines and values instead of, you know, facing the issues of life and challenges in the life and times that you live in and figuring out what the right path is for you and what your values are and everything. Mm-hmm. You're just like, oh, this book tells me this is the way it is, and I don't really have to fucking think for myself, you know. You're kind of giving your thinking away to somebody else.
But don't individual, I mean, life is not always easy for, life is not easy, you know.
No, it's not.
And I think that it does offer... I don't look at it as a weakness. I look at it as an understandable reason, way to be able to cope with getting through life, this life on this planet for some people. I mean, if you can convince yourself that everything, there's a plan and you're doing everything for a reason, then you're doing everything for a reason and you have this drive. But I think the issue comes with people who are more free thinkers have to always struggle through this piece of what the hell is the point of me even existing right now. I don't understand why I'm doing this or what the hell the point is.
Absolutely. Look, I wouldn't...
That's a scary way to go through things.
It is. To face the... That's the human condition that we're living with. And one of the prescriptions for the human condition, I mean, the fact that we know that we're going to die, that we live with suffering every day and we have a tendency to experience pain and tragedy and everything.
Mm-hmm.
To find ways to deal with that's great. I'm not one to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like I said before, if you can take things from something and use them, that's great.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever you got to do. But, you know, how does it influence how you interact with other people? Does it bring you closer to other people or does it separate you from them? Because of your religion, do you want to control the way other people do things? Or are you more accepted and contented with life? What direction do you want to move in? This should be a means to an end of some sort, religion. You know what I mean?
I guess the other point is then, are you condemning the religion just as they would condemn you for not believing in it?
I'm condemning.
Do you see the?
No, actually, yeah. Go on, say more.
I'm just thinking that as I get upset at religious groups sometimes for their beliefs, and they're closing me out and closing other people out and influencing lives of people who did never ask for their help or ask for them to have an influence on their life. For example, women's rights, for example, is one way that they have an influence in governmental policy, right?
Yeah.
So we get upset about that, and we can say, oh, you guys are ruining everything, and you're causing this issue and this issue. And we say, well, why don't you just let us think for ourselves? Well, then we look at them, and we say the same thing, and they'll say to us, why don't you just let us think for ourselves and leave us alone? You see how there's this sort of combative atmosphere that's never going to get resolved.
How many times has a Buddhist, you know what I mean? Like, you never see Buddhists, like, at abortion clinics picketing. And you don't see, you know what I mean? Like,
I think Buddhists do have somewhat of a violent background, too.
They have a violent background? Okay, that's fine, man. Look, some people have found a way to get along in the world without hurting other people or spending a lot of their time, energy, and focus hating other people or being upset about something. The point, I think religion is great when it does certain things for that person, okay? Any religion is great if it does certain things to the person, if it connects them to community, if it gives them like a sense of purpose in life.
Compassion for other people. Everybody.
If it's connecting you, those are some of the things that religion, I think, was meant to do. I mean, I want to be optimistic in that and think that it had a pure intention to begin with.
Right.
But it's, unfortunately, it goes in other directions that get uglier that we hear about all the time.
Every day in the news, yeah.
And in general, whether it's over religion or whether it's over anything else, if you're spending too much of your time trying to control the people around you and the situations around you, it's going to lead to a lot of conflict. It's going to lead to a lot of unnecessary upset. It's a religious... there's the Lord's Prayer. Grant me the serenity, accept the things I cannot change. Change the things I can,
the wisdom of the difference. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So, I mean, that's about knowing the limits of your control. And there's very little that's within your control in life, and letting go of the rest. You know what I mean? And that's, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I should open up my own church.
So I guess the question is, how would you communicate to somebody who was somebody who had a very strong belief system.
Like that the Lord hates.
For example, I think you'll find a lot of religion in underserviced sort of minority populations. I think that's one thing that brings the community together a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So how do you look at somebody like that who's in a situation where they need, it's part of their culture, it's part of who they are. Right, and you'll sit there, and so how would you, and I'm curious, right,
yeah.
How could we sit there and have a conversation saying, like, I don't have the same beliefs as you, without making them feel offended, I guess is the question. Because I think that's part of it, is they take it as a personal attack when you indicate that I think you're off with your beliefs a little bit.
I think that's up to, well, that's the thing about life, is that it's not perfect and fair. Like, you can't have that conversation with everybody. And I think we've all been in that situation with somebody where they get upset because you don't agree with them. They hold something to be sacred. That's where I started out in the conversation, is that it's difficult to really express your opinions about something because somebody might get offended. But so you choose not to have that conversation with the person unless you want to take on that challenge. Are you up to it? Do you want to? And if I was talking to that person... And I've been in this situation before where a lady was telling me that, this is the way it is, and she's so certain in everything. And I'm like, well, how do you know that I don't know a different way, and that's the way it is? And she's like, well, I've had experiences and this and that. And I'm like, well, you're a person. I'm a person. I've had experience. Do you think I've not had experiences?
Yeah.
Like, you're willing to sit here and tell me, the way things are. Well, I don't know.
I know. I understand what you're saying.
But I mean, at the
you're,
same
you're
time,
you're trying to say there's a value to your experience. There's a value to somebody else's experience that are equally valid.
Here's another thing. I mean, when somebody, there's a couple of things at play. Somebody's, you know, maybe they found something they really believe in and it's been good for them. They want to share it with you too because they want you to benefit from it also.
Yeah.
And then also there's always some doubt, man. You never know. You never, the point, I mean, the bottom line is there's very little you know about what you're actually experiencing. So you don't really know if your religion is the truth. And the more people that believe in it with you, the more it validates that belief, the better you can feel about it. Mm-hmm. And now you got this belief system. It's got you feeling good about life and everything and more secure and it's safety. And,
yeah.
And then I come along and I'm like, I don't know, it sounds like bullshit, man. You might get a little pissed off, a little threatened.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
Want to back me
off. Well, you'd be scared, I think. You'd be scared because then you have to go back and question everything again. And I think as soon as you become super sure of anything in general, you sort of have to reevaluate because there could be a better way.
Yeah.
A way that's going to offer you even more growth than what you thought you had before.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the
I did not expect to rant about religious stuff today.
It's good stuff. And so I happy holidays to everybody out there again. So
yeah, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
The birth of
Jesus
Christ.
Jesus was born.
Yeah. Oh, I feel so offensive. I feel like such an asshole.
My point was this is so ingrained in the culture.
Yeah.
You could sit with one person every single day and you could have this conversation with them, even at the highest levels of any religious institution. And the influence it would have on the society and culture would probably be minimal at best because it's such an ingrained piece. You can't even go to a hotel room. You have religious literature in hotel rooms, in public schools, and the governments. It's everywhere you go to, you know. So fast forward thousands of years from now.
Yeah.
Does it go away? Do we finally have a common religion where we all just agree that compassion and understanding and a human connection and we're all on the same team here is the religion and we can celebrate that? Does that ever happen? Or are we always going to be at odds with each other over these different silly little differences that we have about where we came from, what our purpose is?
Yeah. I don't know, but I don't know what'll happen with religion or everything, or if we'll outgrow it, or how we'll treat it in the future, what its place will be. But I do know that people tend to have, they tend to be divisive. They tend to find an other and find reasons to feud over things. And whether it's over religion or the color of your eyes or your skin or whatever, you can find any reason to make somebody an other, an outsider. And
is that just a matter of where we are sort of in our evolution? It's just a real awkward time, I think. It's just we're like adolescence almost.
Thank you, bro.
The adolescent period where it's just awkward.
Yeah.
We can't quite figure out what's going on,
totally.
So we're going to try out certain things. And
yeah, we got these really well developed brains, you know, relatively to everything else, and we've grown out of the jungle basically, and now we have all these new forms of technology, but we still have a lot of the functions that we had when we were back in the jungle. So, like, I mean, there's no reason for us to be so stressed and everything. I mean, and it is a very awkward existence for us, as we don't really have to be all weirded out about life, but we are still.
Yeah.
You know, we're still waiting. We're using the same system that we would use to run away from a cheetah. We're using it to deal with our boss at work, you know, because we might get fired or whatever. I don't know. It's so weird. I don't know, things are moving so fast now. Technologies, or we're anticipating it to move even faster too.
It's been moving pretty fast, yeah.
And we're anticipating it to move even faster. That, you know, 20 years from now could be a completely different world, man. It really could. I'm kind of, nervous about it.
But mentally and emotionally, we're not really, and we can't even get a society and a culture to kind of work together in unison without division everywhere. I mean, division is sort of going to be the trademark of when people look back in history and be like, for thousands of years, the human race was completely divided
themselves. Well, we have to define the other as something else. See, that's the thing. Like, we have to unify against a common enemy.
Well, we all do that.
So I mean, the common enemy, like moving forward, the common enemy could be, I used to say it should be aliens, and we should hoax like an alien visit or something. Like all the world leaders should get together and decide that they're going to pull a hoax on the world and be like, oh, they're aliens. We got to get together, everybody. We got to work together now so we don't get fucking killed. Because we'd all pull together.
Well, people pull together in times like that.
So in this situation, I mean, really the other needs to be defined as, the changes to our environment and things like that. The threats to the destruction of the entire human race. Mm-hmm.
I think we've talked about this before, where I've had sometimes a feeling that the only thing that will sort of unite and get us to grow together again is almost a reboot, whether that means there's some catastrophic event that happens throughout the world, asteroid, meteor, whatever it might be, economic collapse around the world, something like that, where we almost have to kind of start over again and rely on one another, and sort of everybody ends up being on an equal playing field where money and race don't separate one group from the other group, perhaps.
I don't know if it'll have to be. Well,
they could just be some other crazy assholes like that start off this religion or this group or this cult and it's a government. And like, next thing you know, we're back at ground zero again.
It could happen 1,000 different ways, I think. And we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But, I mean, if there was some catastrophe, it would shake things up. People aren't going to make major changes if things are relatively comfortable, and things are, for at least for us here, things are pretty comfortable. So, you know, the likelihood of any radical change happening is not very good. As threats come up and events do happen, maybe there's some event in some part of the world where it doesn't affect the whole world, but it shifts the focus of a lot of people.
Maybe climate change is that thing.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm hoping that can be the common enemy. And
we don't have anything that's as global as climate change. I mean, we exactly. have things that are global, but climate change is something that you can't ignore. It's everywhere, and we here in California recognize it as much as somebody on the other side of the globe.
But you can ignore it. That's the problem, and people ignore it, and they try to. I mean, if they're not ignoring it, they're arguing against it.
Well, you can ignore it until you can't ignore it one day.
Exactly. I mean, eventually, your city's going to be underwater. And then what are you gonna fucking do? Yeah. You know, the sound of your tune's gonna change. So we'll see, man. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. Our parents had it relatively good, man.
Our parents, I think they did too. You know, I sometimes work with older individuals, and when I say older, I mean, you know, they're 50, 60 years old, and they're talking about retirement. And I'll look at them and I'll say, you understand that retirement isn't really something that's in our vocabulary and my generation and other generations. That's why it's just not something we aim to be. We know about it, but it's not, for me anyway, it's not a goal to retire at 60 years old. I just want to have a happy, fulfilling life.
I'd love to retire.
I would like to retire too, but I'm saying the feasibility of it. We don't have retirement plans in our jobs. We are so in debt from loans. There's so many reasons that it is a different ballgame.
It's totally a different ballgame. We talked about that a little bit on the when we were talking about emerging adulthood and stuff, how our parents had it so much different when they were getting out of school versus us. And we're saddled with this debt. Everybody's got the same degrees now, so a degree doesn't mean really anything anymore. Not like you have to get advanced degrees, and that's just hardly separates you from the pack. Environmental instability looking forward, which is our economy is hinged on that, and so many other things are hinged on that. You know, it's a little difficult to settle in to a lifestyle completely, you know, with that.
But
at the same time, our parents did grow up with anxiety around, you know, world destruction.
Scarcity,
and not just scarcity. Well, they had the oil crisis. They did have some conflicts and stuff. Plus, they had, the Cuban Missile Crisis. Mm-hmm. There's a big thing. They always worried about the destruction of the world through nuclear disasters and nuclear war.
And now it's terrorism, global warming, terrorism.
Right.
I think though that issue of things being different, I think that's actually not a bad thing, because I think back in the day it was, I'm just going to do what I have to do to get through this. If I have to work in the same factory for 30 years, I'm just going to grind it out 12 hours a day until I can retire when I'm 65 years old and live for another 10 years, and then I'll die and that'll be my life, right? But I think now what I think you might be finding is that people, younger people, and I would say, you know, even the 30s, even early 40s, younger people are realizing that they're not going to retire. They're starting to realize I need to do, people who have the privilege of this are realizing that I need to do what I want to do to make that, what's meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to do. And I think that you find as more people do what's meaningful to them, it has a greater impact on the world. If you are a great guitar player and that's what you love to do, and you know you're not going to be retiring anytime soon, you want to have a happy life, you're going to use that guitar and you're going to make the world a better place doing it. Or if you're somebody who's a dog trainer, for example, like you're going to be so passionate about that, you're going to see how can I change people's life as a dog trainer or whatever it might be.
And then like they're going to be better dogs out there because you're a passionate dog trainer, and you're going to be happier when you go to the gas station and you're happier to the clerk, and then maybe he's a little nicer to the next person. Like, I mean, that definitely, man. I mean, that's a great thing. It's not a, yeah, it's, there's definitely,
it might be a little bit of a, you know, a pipe dream, but I think that's,
well, not everybody can do it. Somebody has to work at the factory.
Well, some people don't have the luxury of the privilege of even having those options.
You just got to pick yourself up by the bootstraps.
That's bullshit.
It is, and it's definitely, it makes things, it actually adds like a layer of difficulty. Some people say to the, like becoming an adult, because there is this value that everybody has around not only having a good job, but loving what you do. Like that is a marker of success. When people compare themselves, or do I love my job? You know, maybe I have a job that's good, but that guy loves his work.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's part of the image in the picture of having it all, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So it's harder to achieve to have that, you know, new ideal, successful kind of existence, you know?
No, absolutely.
But hey, you know, I mean, really the greatest thing would be to figure out how to just, to realize that there are going to be so many parts of life that you don't enjoy, that you have to just figure out how to enjoy life in spite of those things.
Mm-hmm. You can't avoid the bad things. They're going to happen sometimes.
It's unavoidable. Bad things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can figure out a way to like minimize the shittiness of that, then you're just going to be much happier.
You know, it's interesting that I'm just sort of having this sort of meta view of our conversation right now.
Yeah.
You know, if you were to, you and I talking sort of where we are in our lives, if we were to take a regular, say, just somebody in a different culture than us, whatever it might be, different culture, different race, different educational background, and we could have them sitting over on that table having the same conversation, you know what I mean? And sort of get an idea of, you know, is what we're saying just, we're just in this sort of sheltered world where we're just kind of talking, and this, you know, this guy over here, this girl over here, I would be interested to see like how they would react to this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they might be able to throw some things in that maybe we can understand intellectually, but not
definitely,
but not kind of put it into our systemic view of things.
Hey, man, definitely. I'm definitely speaking from my my experience.
And that's not to downplay our.
You could take people just not even from a different country, from this country, from a few miles away. No,
that's what I'm saying. From right down the street. I mean, it's, you know, anybody. It'd be really interesting to get their sort of their view of where they are and how hopeful they are that things will ever.
You know, I bet that there are a lot of people where, you know, just providing is great. You know, but I think that if you're born in this society and you grow up with all the messages that we're ingesting, you know, commonly, then you're going to have certain ideas about what's, you know, what's successful and what isn't. And I think that's part of the new idea. So not only have a job, but to have one that you love.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. So. That's my argument.
No, I like it. It's really interesting topic.
Weren't we going to talk about the holidays too? I guess we did about religion.
Yeah, I just want to go back real quick.
I was going to talk about like shopping and stuff.
One of the most influential books in my you can still get your advice in really quick. One of my most influential books I ever read, surprisingly, was a book called The Sermon on the Mount by, I don't know who wrote it, but it was about Jesus and his teachings.
Yeah.
And I think I was joking, we kind of joked around about Jesus' birthday, but assuming that he was a real man who lived, it seems like he was a phenomenal, very influential person in the history of the world.
Not just, he sounds like, from the stories I heard, he sounds like one of the coolest dudes that has ever lived.
No, seriously.
Yeah, I'm not even joking. Like, I would really want to hang out with Jesus.
Yeah, he's...
like, really bad.
He's one of those guys who might be, you know, occasionally you'll get somebody we're talking about where we're, like, the adolescence of in evolutionary terms, right? He's one of those guys.
He's a guru.
Thousands of generations ahead of us.
He's a
consciously.
Buddha. Yeah.
He's a Buddha. Yeah, he's a... And anyway, so that book was really influential in the part of my life. And so
he would forgive us for talking shit.
Completely.
He'd be like, I'd be like, oh shit, I'm talking shit on your religion. Jesus, like, it's all good, man.
It's all right. You are cool. Where you are.
Yeah.
You know, you're a learner.
Gotta love him for that.
I don't think, and I don't really don't think that people ever mean to say things to be harmful to. I mean, I don't think that when it comes to religious people either trying to talk to somebody else or separate, when I say us, I mean myself, sort of criticizing another group. It doesn't ever come from a place of wanting to harm the other person, I don't think. It comes from a place of, I think, the same thing. Like, I don't really know. It's hard. I would have to think about that. But it never comes from a place that I need to put you in your place. It might come from insecurity, which can maybe seem like that, I think. Maybe a little bit of fear.
Sometimes it's, for me, I got to be honest, man. It's
Does it feel threatening to you?
I mean, it does. Why? I mean, when there are people that are... I mean, if there are people that feel entitled to get all up in your shit and all up in your business just because they're aiming their focus at these other... at people that aren't me, doesn't mean that I can't be one of those people. Mm-hmm. And what if I was one of those people? Like, I wouldn't like it very much.
Yeah.
I'm bothered by anybody getting up in somebody else's shit. If you're intrusive and, you know, whatever, like... I don't know.
Yeah.
You gotta just stay out of each other's way. If you believe that stuff, then have empathy for the people that you think are in danger of losing their eternal souls or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Have empathy for them and, you know, don't hate them. Like, why you gotta hate them?
Yeah. Or put them in their place in any way, shape, or form or sort of talk down to them. I think it's inappropriate.
It is inappropriate.
Jesus would not be about that. Nor would the Buddha, nor would a loving and caring God in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, man.
I think we could have a part two to this discussion. I was going to say, real quick, holidays are coming up here. JR had some quick advice he wanted to give about the holidays, and that advice was...
You know, I plan to talk in depth with Ryan about the holidays... how we spend the holidays, shopping, stuff like that. And in the midst of that, usually I would arrive at some form of advice that I think would be good to just haphazardly throw out there for everybody to follow. Because the best unsolicited advice I've been thinking about lately, and the best, meaning worst, unsolicited advice is the kind that is uninformed, really not taking the person into account, and... it's just kind of thrown out there with disregard. So I'll say this, you know, do your shopping online. Avoid the crowds, everybody.
Yeah, I remember I've just ran in, I remember last year specifically or year before, just people get so freaking mean during the holidays and shopping. It's just, I don't understand where it comes from.
I'll tell you where it comes from for me. If I go there, because you're like...
It's stressful.
It is stressful to get in and out of there and everything. Yeah, to just even park your car or even get to the parking lot is annoying in and of itself. And then you got to find something to buy and it's overpriced and the whole thing's a disaster. But, yeah. So shopping online's pretty good. That's like the worst cliche advice for the holiday season is to shop online. But that's the only thing I have. Am I? Yeah. Well, there is this. All right. So how about for the people that have to split up their holidays? You know how some kids, like, they have to, or you have multiple families. Like, maybe you have to go
to mom's house, mom's side, and then dad's side.
Then dad's side, and it's Christmas, but you're spending half of it driving and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So, my unsolicited advice is just, don't go, you know? Do something else this holiday season. If you're an adult, do your own thing. You don't have to tell anybody where you're going. Just, you know, cut out for a few days.
I agree with you.
Yeah. It could work.
You got plenty of Christmases to give it a shot. You might as well try something different this year. My advice is to try something different this year. I think, you know, don't do the same old thing on the holidays. Do something radically different.
Radically different.
I had the thought.
What's something radically different you can do?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. Wow. So insightful. Well, I'm happy nobody's listening anymore.
Let's cut the last 10 minutes of this out.
Okay.
I think we fell off a cliff there at the end.
Anyway, guys, thank you very much for joining us. Check out the podcast. Well, you're already listening to the podcast. This is a train wreck here at the end.
Let's cut out the last few minutes and redo the end. Like, we'll finish up with a strong end. Okay. Like, we can just come into the end, like, laughing. Like, find something funny that you or I said.
Okay.
And then we'll both come back in, like, laughing. They'll be like, oh, okay, I guess we have to wrap it up.
Okay, so let's do it. Are you ready?
All right.
So we're just going to start laughing in 3 seconds?
Yeah.
All right, ready, go.
That is good.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time. I think we are at a time. Yeah. It's about that time. So thanks for joining us, everybody, and we'll be back hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah, we're going to do next week. We're going to come back. Yeah.
We're going to try to get back on the train because we both enjoy it. We know that you guys enjoy it too, so appreciate it. JR is going to take us out with a little tunage today.
All right, guys.
Yeah, so all right. Here we go.
It's a JR original, all right?
All right, thanks again.
All right, we're just going to jump in the middle of the song.